This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Our guest today is Jana Boomersbach. She's probably won more awards than any journalist in the state. She's done investigative journalism for the Phoenix New Times, for Phoenix Magazine, among other publications, and did very memorable commentaries, as I remember when I first got to town, for KAET. She then gave all of that up in order to write novels. The literary world gained something, but I think we lost something in terms of our understanding of our politics with that transformation. Welcome to Think Tank.
Thank you very much.
All right. I got a question for you.
Yes.
Several months ago, you blogged and you decried the lack of investigative reporting on suspicious events in this state. More than a few of us, I think, reacted to that and said, well, Jana, where are you? What's stopping you? Here's my question. We come up with a huge pile of money and we make you editor of a new publication charged to investigate what's really going on in this state. What would be the first several stories that you would go after, that things that you would think are A, important, and B, are under investigated?
Well, I have an enormously long list, but we will focus it.
You can
on
go
a
alphabetically. It's okay. Alphabetically, yeah.
Well, I'd rather go by order of importance.
Well, I'm going to go by order of importance.
There you go.
The first thing I would look at is private prisons. Arizona leads the nation in two things only. Private prisons and charter schools. The rest of the education system were in the basement. We're 47th, if not 48th, in the nation on funding, education, on all that. We have the largest cuts anywhere of any state in the entire nation in education cuts. But while we were shredding public education in Arizona, we gave the private prisons over the last 5 years a 46% increase to build medium security prisons for private profit, to house low-level criminals, drunk drivers, druggies.
Yeah, medium level is not guys you're terrified
no,
of.
No, it's not the murderer. It's not the rapist. It's not the terrorist. It's the guys who probably should be in a county jail is what it should be. But and we guaranteed a profit to these companies. And we said, hey, come to Arizona. Bring anybody you want in. Build these things. We'll give you all this money to build these things. We're going to guarantee you a profit. We're going to. 1 year, one legislator tried to up their contract at the last minute in the legislative session. This is Kavanaugh out of Fountain Hills. A man, I can never understand how that man gets elected. But anyway, so the private prisons.
You've got to move to Fountain Hills to
develop
a deeper understanding of Arizona.
I got to. But the private prison system, to me, looks so unbelievably corrupt. And it looks so – such collusion. And it is such a Republican fantasy. They sold this idea of private prisons to the state of Arizona and around the country as a place so we could have a cheaper penal system. Every study Arizona did showed that private prisons were more expensive than the public prisons were. But as these reports came one after another, you know what the legislature did? They decided that they would stop having the reports. So they eliminated the annual reporting on the economic feasibility of the prison system. The Democrats this
don't
year
confuse me with them. Their facts.
I know. Don't let me see the bad reports, because then I'm going to have to admit that I'm totally wrong on this. That I'm squandering public money. That I'm probably feathering the nests of some friends of mine. Who knows how much these guys have given in contributions to elect Republicans? I bet they haven't given a dime to elect a Democrat, because Democrats.
Why should anybody give any money? Any money given to a Democrat in this state is a bad investment.
It will be if you keep electing these kinds of Republicans who are bankrupting this state and who are bankrupting our education system and who are squandering money on things like private prisons.
But I heard private industry does stuff smart and government can't do anything right.
Well, that's a nice fantasy. I mean, and sometimes that's true. Sometimes,
well, okay, yeah. I think you have to go both sides on that. So if we look at the prisons that the government is running, how economically feasible are they? How well are they operating?
Compared to the private prisons, according to the studies by the state of Arizona, they are more economically feasible.
Perfect.
They are, yes, now, they are better.
Now, so let me ask you this. So President Obama says that soon there's going to be just – they're opening up the gates, really, is what they're going to do. They're going to release a lot of these low-level criminals that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. How does that play into this as we keep expanding our private prison system, but the head, the CEO of this country, is right. going to start just letting them out?
Well, that's what he says. But you, as you know, you have all these Republican governors who buck him on everything he wants
well,
to do.
Well, let's add a fact here.
Obama, just one fact to add into this.
The vast majority of prisoners in this country are in state custody, not in federal custody. President has no say about that.
That's true. So the state prison system is under the control of the governor and his Department of Corrections director and these private prison guys who I think are all, you know, are all feathering these nests over here.
You know, before you move off of that, there's one oddity on the subject of state prison. As somebody who has done contracting for the state of Arizona, every contract I have ever seen for the state of Arizona has a clause in it that says that this contract is conditional upon the availability of state funding and appropriations. The exception to that are the prison contracts,
right,
which are guaranteed no matter what.
Right. Guaranteed profit no matter what.
Well, so are our utilities.
Yeah, but that's a separate whole. That's another whole entity over here.
No, I agree.
And that's not public tax money.
It's just not uncommon.
Well, no, it is uncommon. It is uncommon that the utilities aren't guaranteed a profit. They are guaranteed covering their expenses. They're guaranteed an operating thing. Are they guaranteed a profit?
They are guaranteed a profit.
A modest. Yeah.
Yes, they are guaranteed a percentage profit. Absolutely.
I don't think it's specified what that profit should be. They're guaranteed an appropriate. You're talking about APM,
but
not
their
SRP,
money comes not from tax money. Their money comes from user fees. So that's a whole different things. We're talking about the government of Arizona using our tax money to finance an institution that we know is more expensive than the public institutions and has given them a 46% increase as they've shredded education. Now, there's something totally wrong with this picture, I think.
What would you like to investigate about that? You've stated
the whole thing. Here's my question. Is anyone being bought off? And who is being bought off? Because you know damn well somebody's being bought off. Are there any inside deals? You know damn well there's inside deals. You don't have this kind level of finances without a lot of slimy stuff happening. And so there's nothing pure about this, I'm quite certain. Are they as corrupt as it appears that they are? Who are the owners and who are the investors? Who has financially tied? How many people in state government are financially tied to those private prisons? How many of them make a living because those private prisons are allowed? They're very sweetheart deals. How much is going to politicians and campaigns from the private prisons? I would like to look at the entire system and to see exactly how this works and how it doesn't work and what the people of Arizona are paying through the nose for.
We have we've asked Jana Boomersbach if she had a giant pile of money to have an investigative team of reporters, what exactly she would go after in the state of Arizona. We're going to stay on this. She said she had a laundry list. We've covered one. All right, let's speed it up. Coming up next on The Think Tank.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, we're back with Jana Boomersbach, who is setting the agenda for investigative reporting in the state. We've dealt with private prisons. What's number two?
Number two would be charter schools. You look at when you decide to go investigate things, you look at the things that are the biggest things in your state. And private prisons and charter schools are the two big Republican dream
where
things,
most of the money is
where
being
most of the money is being put. So here's what I want to know about charter schools. I want to know, why is it that when a public school land is bought and a building is built and desks are done, that belongs to the public? When a charter school builds a building and gets desks and gets equipment, the charter school owner owns those facilities.
A church. Excuse me. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Mike, you're right. You're on the right track.
Yes, I am.
So how is it that we're spending public money to finance a school system where all the resources are going to end up in private hands? Why is that considered fair and equitable? Now, I understand the fixation on charter schools by those who think the public school system is the nemesis of America. I happen to be on the absolute opposite side of that. I think America's greatest gift to the world was a public education system for everybody. We realized very, very early on. In fact, the very first legislature in the state of Arizona created the University of Arizona down in Tucson. We recognized very early on how important education was for the health, the welfare, and the economic viability and the decency of our country and of our state.
R&Ds won't disagree with that. I don't think you're going to get disagreement on any side there.
What you do get disagreement on is whether it should be public education or private education.
Right.
And Democrats are solidly on the side of public education, and Republicans seem to be lining up with their tongues hanging out for private education. I don't think private education is the answer here. I think you can coexist. I think you can have good charter schools and good mm-hmm. public schools together. But I think you've got to be fair about it. I don't think you should allow public school owners to own the property, to own the buildings, to own the desks, all of which was bought by public money. That, to me, is very weird. And I think we need to get to the bottom of that and what's going on.
I had one attorney who described it to me this way. He said, all these charter schools, they're basically real estate scams.
Well, I think that could be very true.
A scam's a tough word, but I will say this. They're taking advantage of a system. I understand this, and I've seen this, and I'm not a fan of what I'm seeing, by the way.
Right.
I'm not a fan of the people starting these charter schools because they want a better education for the kids when the building is being used for something else on the weekends, if you know what I'm saying. Hold on one second here. I am a commercial for the public school system here. I love our public school system. My kids went out of a private, out of a charter, into public. They were heads of the class behind in public. I mean, public education system here, they're doing things with the traditional academies and things like this. Our public school system here gets a bad, bad rap.
Undeservedly.
Yes.
Undeservedly. Because I'm in schools a lot doing a variety of things. And those teachers are so dedicated and those kids are so engaged and they keep trying to do new things. And every time they try to advance, somehow the government knocks them down. And the worst example this year in this year's budget is what the governor is trying to do to technical education. Now, these are the kids that are probably not going to go to a four-year college, probably will go to a two-year college maybe, but they need they're getting a technical education so that they're going to come out of that education with a skill
yes.
for a job.
Right.
And it is a phenomenal success. We got over 90,000 students in Arizona in technical education right this minute. Their graduation rate is 98%. Compared to somewhere around 70%, 72% for the general population. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in many schools, it's a lot lower than that. 98% of the kids who go to these technical schools graduate, and they come out with jobs. Businesses love them. Everybody loves them. What did the legislature do last year? They cut all $30 million to finance that program. They cut it out totally. Mm-hmm. This year, the governor says, oh, I'm giving you back the $30 million spread over 3 years, and I'm going to create a committee that's going to have a partnership with a business for you to exist. I mean, he's putting up all these roadblocks. Why would you cut the knees out of a program that is so unbelievably successful?
So what would an investigative team find?
What an investigative team would go into and document what was going on in the whole technical school system, why the governor is after this thing, get the business community involved, look at what they're saying, what they're doing, and see where the disconnect comes from.
I mean, it seems to me the other thing is some of the interconnect. Sometimes you have the school itself that's private, nonprofit. And then they rent the building from somebody else, and the real money is being funneled into that.
That's right. So you've got the charter school issue over here, which is sort of the broad issue. And under that, you've got these other sub things. So, yeah, so you want to look at the entire charter school system. What are the standards? What are the criteria? What kind of levels of accountability are we expecting from charter schools that we demand of public schools? What it seems to me that what has happened is we've had a great demand on public schools to account for themselves, to have test scores, to show da-da-da-da, and we have let the charter schools skate.
I think just one point, fair point, however, we have to make about charter schools.
Okay.
There are charter schools also that are public schools.
Yes, there are. Yes, there
and
are.
That's a different
because
animal.
The public school people were smart enough to figure out, hey, if I want to get some of this largesse from the state, I've got to go and create a charter school. So there has been something, and it's been out of desperation. They wouldn't have created that charter school if they didn't desperately need the money.
Now, I don't think a lot of people know that, because I didn't. This is is news to me. I didn't know that the charter schools have no accountability as far as statewide testing and things like that. They don't?
They don't have the same level of testing and the same level of accountability as the public schools do.
Okay.
I think that there have been efforts by some people to try to make those standards up. But when charter school systems started in the state, boy, I'll tell you, you could get by with anything in that. And look at all those that went bankrupt and all that money went off someplace with somebody in their Cadillac or wherever they went and off they went.
It seems to me it's the old Watergate admonition. Follow the money.
Follow the money. That's exactly right. Follow the money. And when you have a state that has decided that its public school system, from its elementary kids all the way through to its universities, that you are going to shred those funds. And when Governor Ducey says that he is giving back money to education, he is spitting in the bucket. Because this man has so destroyed the financial system of the education system in Arizona that he has to reinvest for years and years and years to get us back to where we were.
So how do we fix it then? If we've seen time and time again that more money doesn't exactly equate to better education, what do we do?
Well, more money does equate to better education.
The numbers from the Department of Education don't really play that out, though. From our own Department of Education,
if you aren't funding your students adequately to provide a library, to provide a teacher, to provide the custodian. I mean, you've got to keep those schools operating. If you don't provide the right level of enough level of funding so that you could have all those things, the first thing that schools do is start cutting out all the quote-unquote enrichment programs. Music, band, sports. Libraries get a hit. Mm-hmm. You know, my God, how do you have a school without a library, you know? So, no, there's a level of funding that has got to be there for you to be even anywhere near competitive. Our per student spending in this state is much lower than the national average. So nationally, there's something like 10,000. What is the figures? I can give you the exact figures. Nationally, people are spending $10,000 a student. We're spending $7,200.
All right.
So we're 47th in the nation on what we do as far as spending on our students. There is a connection between the money you spend and the results you get. And it's only because our teachers have been so unbelievably imaginative, our principals have been so creative, that we've been able to sacrifice.
And us parents bring a boatload of gear every beginning of class.
And when are people going to understand that it's the parent, that the thing falls on the backs of the parents?
Yeah.
The cost falls on the back of the parents.
It does. Jana Boomersbach is here just bringing the heat. We're going investigative reporting on all things Arizona politics. We're going to stay on this because whatever. Who needs an agenda? We're getting out of here right here on KTAR News.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, we are back with investigative journalist, one time at least, Jana Boomersbach. And she has identified the top two issues, uninvestigated issues in the state, both under the heading of follow the money. They are private prisons and charter schools. What else is on your list?
Well, the third item on my list is also a follow the money, but this time I'm speaking for every Republican voter in this state, every Libertarian voter in this state, every Independent voter in this state, and every Democratic voter in this state. And what I am saying to every single voter in this state is we have a right to know who is financing the political elections that we are facing. We have a right to know who is financing those ads you see on television, often very negative and very caustic. We have a right to know who is trying to manipulate us as voters into electing this person or that person to the office. And all that comes under the heading of dark money. And we name it dark money because we don't know who's spending it. They can make a fake name up. They usually make some very patriotic sounding name. I mean,
Americans for Puppies.
Exactly.
Darn right.
That's Mike's pack.
That's right. They make up this very wonderful sounding name. And what they're really trying to do is con you and snooker you into electing somebody who's going to be in their pocket. Because they're not spending this kind of money because they're good altruistic people. They're spending this kind of money because they want to buy that politician.
My favorite saying on that was when they asked Charlie Keating if he had bought politicians. He said, I certainly hope so. I spent enough on it.
Exactly. He was the only person honest enough to actually say that. You know, in this last year, we saw a very horrible thing happening at the Corporation Commission, where there's been all of this suggestion that the Arizona Public Service financed the campaigns of the commissioners that they wanted, who regulates Arizona Public Service, because they want a big tax. they want a big rate hike. So they wanted the right people, right for them, people in there. Of course, the minute you get a rate hike for APS, that means consumers, you, me, and all of us in this room and all of us in the state, are paying more money for our electricity, yep, whether they deserve it or not. And so there's a big question about what APS did, and the Republic has been very adamant about yelling at them. Lori Roberts and Montini have both screamed their heads off about this, and I think they're both really right. Do you know that there was $15 million spent in the last election that we have no idea who spent that money? But here's what I find so intolerable. Eventually, that was the 2014 election, right? Since then, those corporations, everybody has had to file what's Form 999 or something. It's their big IRS form,
okay,
where they have to list what they spent their money on. And they have to list that money that they spent on campaigns. So somebody should
by campaign?
By campaign.
By campaign.
So somebody should be smart enough to go in and look at those 999s and say, okay, APS did this, 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 and this, and this. And so and the Koch brothers did this, 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 and this. And these people are all spending their money on these things. Maybe they have to list them by the organization, but you know who sponsored those ads.
Well, and you know, but those go through often two or three intermediaries.
That could be. But you
and that's why we need a team of investigative reporters.
That's why you need a team of investigative
reporters. That's right.
Follow the money.
And there is, you know, there is a proposition that Terry Goddard is promoting.
Filed this week.
That would put on the ballot a demand that dark money be exposed during the campaign. Because learning about it 2 years later, I mean, if you read a story that said, okay, here's how you were snookered in the election 4 years ago, I mean, you're not even going to care. It's like, oh, sure. Well, come on.
It's past right. history.
It's exactly. past history. Yeah. You need to know when that election is going on. So if there's a hit piece on somebody that is designed by a company that's trying to buy the other side because of their own self-interest, you need to know that. I mean, I think Americans primarily are fair people. And this goes all the way across the political spectrum. I mean, I don't think any political party has a corner on honesty and fairness. I think some exercise it better than others, but I don't think anybody – I see America as a nation that really does believe in fairness and honesty. And so this dark money thing is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's something that we should do.
Do you think that they would – I think they're smart enough. Don't you think that the millionaires and billionaires of this world got that way by having a level of intelligence that can – they can figure things out. They can figure out a way, no matter what type of regulation we bring about dark money and transparency. Don't you think they'd find a way around it?
Well,
Are we chasing a ghost?
No, I don't think we're chasing a ghost, because look at Donald Trump. I mean, he's one of the most successful so-called businessmen, and if you don't look at his bankruptcies and all the other problems.
Well, I did hear one analysis that if you took the money inherited, invested it in the S&P 500, have more money than he does now.
Yeah, exactly. So if this guy's clever enough to have figured all that out, he's sure showing himself to be stupid out on the campaign trail. I think that there's an entitlement. I think business in this country has not smarts. I think they have they were hit by the wicked stick of entitlement. They think they are entitled to do this. They're entitled to tell these peons, the rest of us, the unwashed masses.
You know, there was a study on the subject of entitlements, done a completely different way, but somebody was sitting at a corner monitoring who didn't stop at stop signs.
Right.
It was all the new BMWs and Mercedes.
Yeah.
You know, entitlement.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, I deserve my piece of the American pie. It's another to say, it's my right to tell you which piece you get.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. And so that's why the dark money is so, I think, so ugly and so slimy and so bad, and why we need to regulate that. And once you've got at least some regulation, some kind of exposure, all I want to know is I want to know who is sponsoring those ads. And I want to know on all sides. I want to know who are the people putting up the money.
The real source.
The real source of money. That's what I want to know. Because I want to know when I go into that, if I see that ad, okay, what's really the purpose behind this ad? Mm-hmm. You know, what's really going on here? So I think that the dark money thing is going to be.
Okay, let's move on. Dark money, but you get one more.
One more. Okay. There's $200 million somewhere in the state government that nobody has ever spent or nobody knows where it is. This is the money that was the settlement over the big bank mortgage issue.
Yeah.
Arizona, Terry Goddard was one of the guys who sued the big banks
this
over the mortgages.
This one he's attorney general.
Right. And Arizona was hit by the bad mortgage situation.
Big time.
I think next to Las Vegas. I think we were like number two. And Terry was trying, I know, because I did stories about this when he was an attorney general, trying very hard to stem that, to stop that. Well, in the settlement, when they finally caught all these crooks who destroyed the economy, there was a $200 million check written to the state of Arizona. It was supposed to be for mortgage relief to the people who had been snookered out of their houses. It was supposed to help those people who had been led by the bank by the nose to do things and got them in this situation. Terry tells me that money has never been spent. And he and I both want to know, where is that $200 million?
Stuck in the couch cushion.
And why isn't it helping the very people that it was supposed to help? So I would go after that. I would go after the whole thing. And I would also look very strongly at how the state of Arizona responded to that housing crisis, because they made things worse. When the attorney general tried to sponsor bills that would have created all kinds of stops to continually prey on these people. Because remember, after the first blush of people losing their mortgages, then you had all these sham guys come in that say, hey, we'll fix your mortgage for you. You know, you pay us and we'll get this all fixed.
Sure.
That was as big a scam as was the first thing. Well, Terry tried to stop that. He tried to put a squanch on that, and the legislature refused him. And so the problem just kept growing. So there's a whole problem there that we need to look at that we've never really had a chance to see.
$200 million. This is not chump change.
It's not chump change.
It's got to be somewhere.
It's got to be somewhere.
Weren't they 3-4 years ago looking for every penny they could find, yeah, trying to balance the book?
That you'd think so. So I don't know where this $200 million is, but he says from what he knows, it's never been spent where it's supposed to be spent. And if it wasn't spent there, then it's illegally being spent.
So stop the bad money, find the money we have.
There you go. See, I can sum it up.
That's what they pay me to do here, Jan.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Smart. Very smart.
Look, it is one of the this is an interesting state politically, and that's why we have this show, and that's why we just keep having material and more material, because it is just absolute. Give me an overall grade right now, Arizona politically. We're going to take off here in about a minute or so, but could you give me an overall grade?
Oh, a D minus.
D minus.
I mean, Arizona is going
still passing.
Still passing. Is going totally in the wrong direction. I mean, Doug Ducey tried to do this lovely state speech in which he made it sound like we were doing great stuff. Do you know he's destroying the education system in this state? And without an education system, we're not going to attract the kind of businesses we want. He wants jobs in here. He's going to get nothing but low-income jobs if he doesn't watch what he's doing.
Because, ice cream scoopers.
Yeah, that's
see
exactly
what I
right.
did there with the ice cream?
Exactly.
Ah, Jana Boomersbach. Thank Jana. See, I'm going to get your name right. I promise. Jana Boomersbach. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
You're welcome.
A lot of fun. And I'm telling you, I hope you fall upon a giant pile of money so you can get this team of yours
wouldn't
and really
great?
Straighten this out.
I'd love it.
Start a GoFundMe.
30 seconds. Want to pitch the novels?
Oh, yeah. I have a new book coming out in February called Funeral Hot Dish, which is my first full fiction book, which creates an investigative reporter woman in Phoenix called Joya Bonner, who exposes things. And in fact, I'm working on the next book, which is going to expose a major issue in this city and this state. So I'm doing some investigative work in my new books. So
it's like Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
That's right.
Scam, she wrote.
There you go. I like it.
All right. See, we'll get that.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. More coming up. Doc and I are going to tie a big bow around this when we come back on the Think Tank.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Jana Boomersbach is a kick in the pants. I enjoy her. I have so much fun with her. She is a blast, and what a great question to pose to her. Okay, if you got a team of investigative journalists, what are they going after? Just sick them. I love it.
And it used to be her doing that.
Well, yeah, and I think that she's obviously made a career. I'm excited for that book to come out. I don't get excited about books, and the reason, and I know you think that's funny, but my niece always gets after me about, Uncle, you need to read more. You need to read more. I go, the amount of stuff I read every single day, trust me, I'm reading enough, but just sitting down to reading a book after I've read about 50 articles in a day, not really to it, but I will check that one out because I'm excited about it. So let's dig into what she said. Obviously, you know,
common theme seems to be follow the money.
Follow the money is fine.
These are big, when you have big money at stake, there's profits to be made.
Yeah.
You know, there's folks using the political system figuring out how to separate the state from its money.
An overall arching theme, I think, that was exposed was Republicans, Republicans, Republicans. This is not a Republican-only issue. It isn't. You have to be fair and understand Dems are on the take just as much in different ways.
In different states, maybe.
Saying, so what you're saying is the Democrat Party in Arizona is just deadlocked, clean, and squeaky.
No, I'm saying that they don't control very much of anything.
Well, then they put better people.
You want to go after
then.
Democrats.
Put more electable people there.
Want to go after Democrats, move to California where they control everything. You may see things there.
I offer Bellflower as an example. Yes. Look, I think it's there are certain things in certain ways that things need to get done. And they have from the federal level all the way down to the local school, the local city level. OK, there are things that two things you don't want to see made. Right. Sausage in the law. Mm-hmm. It just because it's ugly. There's nothing pretty about it to make it squeaky clean. I don't think it's possible.
You know where a lot of this has its origin in an almost religious belief. If you start out with this religious belief, that religious belief being that things, those things which you accept but don't require proof for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if your religious belief is government bad, private industry smart.
Right.
Then you can throw out things like, well, if we privatize the prisons, they'll be better. Mm-hmm. If we privatize the schools, they'll be better. And I think the answer is maybe. You still got to measure.
I think you have one is the DMV. Yes, I would go with that one. Privatize, because that is just awful.
Yeah, you know, DMV might be harmless to do. Okay, but here's the problem. I look at prisons, for example.
Yeah.
Look at the issue of recidivism.
Sure.
A private company that's running prisons has no interest in lower recidivism. It's more business for them.
Absolutely.
If you are working for the state and—
Does the state care?
You know—
One has a profitable goal. At least they don't have a disincentive.
Well,
okay, one has a profitable goal. The other one's just, all right, here he comes again.
It is a measure against which we should hold any prison. Now, of course, it's not just the prisons. It's the courts. It's the society at large. It's what resources we provide. But a goal, if for no other reasons than the heavy cost of prisons— A goal of any penal system should be lower recidivism.
I agree with that, but is it really? I mean, look at private and public. I mean, look at them both. I don't think there is a real goal in mind. It's go through the motions. It is what it is. It just here's the jails, here's the prisons. It is what it. Both sides are culpable here with our penal system.
And historically, prisons are places where we have stashed people that we are either angry with or are afraid of.
So as a society, we need to decide what prison is for.
And they are for bad guys, but almost all of those bad guys are coming out at some point. The ones that are in for life, that means life, you know, recidivism is not an issue. That's about incapacitation. Keep them there so they will never come out again.
Right.
And there's a segment— A relatively small segment of the prison population that is in that category. Almost all the rest are coming out at some point. And the question is, what do we want them to be when they come out? And how do we incentivize, if we believe in incentives, how do we incentivize the system, whether public or private, to produce a non-revolving door kind of situation?
Right, and exactly. That's what you have to agree, R's, D's, private, public, whatever you're going to throw your lot behind. We have to decide what jail, what incarceration is for.
And I'd add, it goes beyond the prisons themselves. For example, if you have somebody walking out of prison and they're this checkbox business on every application, if you have to check if you've ever been in prison, that makes it difficult for you to reintegrate into society.
Okay. I think they're going to find out. I talked to three HR professionals, and they all said nothing would change. If you get rid of that box, nothing would change. They would find out eventually doing a background check, and that person won't get the job. It just is what it is. As unfair as that sounds, it is what it is.
And broader society. You don't want to take anybody into your company who's dangerous, but as a society, if you're not willing to accept people back in and give them some viable path into a normal employment situation, then we're shoving them back in a direction we don't want them to go.
Obviously, the revolving door. So, now let's move on to something I think we found some agreement on was the charter schools. I'm not a fan of charter schools. No. I think they're like unions. They were a good idea at first, and now it's just time to go bye-bye. It's time to go the way of the buggy whip or seriously reform what they can and cannot
Again,
do.
I think there's some serious profiteering in them. There's a lot of uncontrol. We do have to distinguish. There are public charter schools.
Yes, correct.
You know, and those are just public schools that have had some regulations cut back on in exchange for which some greater freedoms.
Yeah.
And I'm all for more experimentation in the model of education. That's not necessarily that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Talk about investigative. I think there's a lack of investigative lack of investigating during the approval process for a new charter school. And that is where I think step one needs to take place in more investigating. Wait, who's really doing this? Who's really needing this building? Who is really going to profit from this? Is this going to make this segment, this neighborhood? Is this going to make this neighborhood
better? And education funding is very different. Jan was talking about how well the charter schools get more. A lot of charter school people come in here and tell you they get less. It's very difficult to add up because the public schools, traditional public schools, start out with a building and some other stuff that they don't have to continuously pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to get an apples to apples comparison on true cost.
Yeah.
So that one, I don't know. But the point is, I think that if you're going to have any alternatives to traditional schools, they should be subject to the same kinds of measurements as public schools are. Having said that, however, a lot of those measurements are inherently flawed. If you are serving a population of homeless kids who don't sleep in the same place two nights in a row, you're not going to get the same level of education performance unless you're really terrific or you meet some of those other, you know, the kids that come into school hungry aren't going to be focused on their education. I mean, there's all kinds of things that make it a whole lot easier to have higher performing schools in Paradise Valley than in other places, and it's not because the schools are necessarily doing better. They're working with kids who are programmed to success.
Right, and you're also dealing with parents that are more involved in most cases as well. So okay,
absolutely.
It's not just they're rich.
Oh no,
so
no, no. Numero uno
yeah.
is parental involvement.
Absolutely.
The problem is, what if you don't have parents?
No, I'm with you. I know yeah. exactly.
Or
what
you don't
saying.
Have, or your parents don't have a clue what they ought to be
sure.
doing, and you still want the school to produce as successful an outcome as you can. If there's a single variable that you could manipulate, it would be the parents. Unfortunately, you're stuck with the parents you have.
Exactly. Or don't have.
Yeah.
In that case. So it just, by the way, since 1971 is what I saw from the Department of Education, mm-hmm. from the Federal Department of Education, talking about spending per pupil and its increase since 1971, even with inflation. So it was all mm-hmm. taken in there. And its correlation to test scores and graduation rates. Nada. I mean, that's from the Department of Education. That's not me. Hey, I'm a Republican. And
well,
that's adding
together a whole lot of things under the umbrella that are.
But
you know.
As a voter, I look. Yep. Whoa. Why do you want to put more money into it? Well, more money's no bueno. Let's fix something else. It's tough.
There's also, I think anyone would agree, there's a minimum threshold you have to reach below which you're going to find it difficult to operate.
And we would hope. We would hope that we find that and we do what's mm-hmm. right. And hopefully the money we do spend gets to the teachers because good night, they need it. All right.
Hey, by the way,
Jenna Boomer's spot. Yeah. Rocked.
I want to give due credit. By the way, I pointed out that this song is my authorship, but musical group playing is the Brown University Jazz Band.
Nice, Brown University Jazz Band. Great job. All right, we want to thank Jana Boomersbach. I always thank our great team here at KTAR, Doc O'Neill. I'm Mike Russell's Think Tank. Have a good weekend. Yeah.